This is episode 136 of Extraordinary Women Radio.
Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey.
Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Happy New Year. I am excited to step into 2020 with you as we open the doors to new possibilities, to big dreams, and big action. I love the start of a new year, a fresh slate of all that can be. It's so powerful. And what a beautiful interview to kick off our year with our guest today, Holly Chantel. Holly is a business coach with a holistic flair, so you can see why we jive together. She's all about helping people break through their upper limits. She's got a great story on how personal fulfillment helped her break through the upper limits in her own business. Let's meet Holly Chantel. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Holly.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too. Are you excited about 2020?
Absolutely. 2020 is slated to be a good year for me.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited about it. What's your big hopes for 2020? What's the big?
Well, first of all, I'm having a baby, so.
Well, that's a big thing.
That's kind of a big deal.
Totally. So when are you due?
In June. So I have a little bit more waiting to do.
Oh, that's exciting though. Is this your first or do you have others?
My third.
Your third.
So two boys and then this is supposed to be a girl. So we'll see.
Oh, awesome. Well, congratulations. And what a great milestone for 2020 for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I want to start with your story. You were a business coach and a brand strategist and you were on track to hit seven figures within your first 5 years, which is just phenomenal, by the way. But then everything changed. What happened?
Yeah, so what happened is babies. Seems to be the common thread here. Back then I was in my, mid-20s and, was living in the city, had a completely kind of different life. And my business was really born from my passion and I was able to spend all the time I wanted on it. So I was able to, sky was the limit. And then had a very difficult pregnancy, which led into, becoming a mom, which is a huge transition that I think that you don't know the full impact until you've experienced
it. That's so true.
Everyone talks about it. You think you're prepared.
Yeah.
And then, it changes everything. So, so that kind of stopped, changed. I won't say stopped the progression, but it really just changed my goals. I think really what I wanted was to hit seven figures by the time I was 30, just so that I could say I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, my oldest son came into the picture, it was kind of like, that really doesn't matter.
Right. It all puts it into perspective, right?
Exactly.
It's like what's most important in life.
And I'd much rather scale things back. I was for the first year with him, I think I was only working about 15 hours a week and so that he could be home with me and so that I could have create that bond and be there. And so now, I've scaled up to 25 hours a week, which is still not a lot. And I'm really focused on freedom and I have systems that run certain aspects of my business. So I'm able to maintain a pretty good lifestyle while also being able to focus on other things that are now, equally or more important than what my business was before.
And was that an easy journey to get to this freedom kind of focus?
Every step of the way. I mean, I am a Leo. I am a, I am an achiever. I'm extremely independent. That is one of my core pieces of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And having not being in control of my time anymore, I fought tooth and nail and I kept surrender. Like everyone says, surrender. I surrendered so many stinking times. Cause I was like, what does that even mean? And what I realized is surrendering and kind of just allowing to happen is a decision that you have to make over and over and over again. And I did. And, it, it, for, let's see this. So I had Evan in 2013, and then I had my second in 2016. And it wasn't until about 2017 that I really realized how much I was fighting it.
Give us some examples. What were some of the things that you really had to surrender to and to flow into, if you will?
Yeah, well, it's hard to explain. So everyone can relate, or a lot of people can relate to the being pulled in two different directions. So having your work or your career or your business, and thinking about it when you're with your family, and then vice versa, when you're at work or in your career, you're thinking about your family.
Right.
And that crossover can be really difficult. And for me, it wasn't a feeling of guilt that I know a lot of people experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I should be doing this, I should be doing that.
Right.
For me, it was more of my business is my creative outlet. And I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't, when I was with my kids, I had to turn it off.
Right.
And so I kept stopping my creative outlet and turning it off because I can't be thinking about this right now. You know, I'll table this for later. And what happened is that flame eventually began to die down. And my flame, my creative flame, I started to feel like I couldn't create anymore, which was
because you were being pulled too thin from both sides.
Right. I was like kind of just turning off pieces of myself in order to survive.
Right.
You know, compartmentalizing, which I feel mm-hmm. like a lot of us do.
Right. Right.
And, you know, wasn't able to open up a compartment on command, which now I can. That's something that I've learned. So what happened was, is, you know, in about 2017, I just remember sitting on the floor with my, I had my baby in my lap and my then 3-year-old next to me and thinking, I don't want to be here anymore. Like mm-hmm. I can't do this. It was terrifying.
Right.
Because it was a moment of contentment and happiness of like, here I am with my kids. But then there was also just this part of me that just wanted to escape.
Right.
And that was like my low moment. And that led me to going to therapy.
A good thing, right?
As soon as you have that thought, you're like, oh, yeah, there's something wrong here. I need help.
Right, right. And I'm sure there's listeners who are tuned in right now going, oh, my God, I remember that moment for myself.
And I was fortunate in that the therapist I found did not immediately say, you're depressed, you need medication. Those things, which there's nothing wrong with any of that if you need it.
Right.
But where I was lucky is that he recognized what was actually going on, which was that I was having a spiritual awakening. Mm. And I was in what you call the dark night of the soul, which is that dark place where you've peeled away every piece of yourself mm-hmm. and you're about to be reborn.
Right.
And it's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to get out of. But once he put a name to it, I'm a researcher. Like that's just what I do. I started researching it, started looking up things about spiritual awakening, started looking up the dark night of the soul and gathering information, and all of it fit.
It felt correct for you.
Right. And that gave me hope, because I knew that there was something really great on the other side. And I started to be able to connect with teachers to help me kind of move through this process. And, once you know the path and you realize what the problem is, it makes it so much easier because you know what you're dealing with.
Right. Right. And what were some of the things, the exploration that you went through to move through that? What were some of the ways you moved through that?
So I learned, this is where I think you also have a kind of spiritual aspect to
absolutely
how you practice your business mm-hmm. and life. So this was really my start of my journey into that realm, that up until then, I didn't realize, you know, I was raised Christian, Baptist, very traditional. Mm-hmm. And that was all kind of taboo to me. I didn't thinking
to look at it from a different, to look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah. I was always very open to other people that had those beliefs. They just weren't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was that there really is an undercurrent of things going on. And I began to learn how to listen to that and listen to my higher self and my intuition, which like when people say that it sounds so easy and it really isn't.
It's not easy. It's so not easy. It's so funny because, you know, I came out of the corporate world, I left probably almost 12 years ago at this point. And, you know, so I was very left brain thinking, was not tuned into my intuition, was not really listening to anything spirituality perspective at all when I left that mm-hmm. space. And, you know, so it was through some big bumps in my life when I, you know, I left the corporate world, I lost my father. And there was, you know, these catalysts that made me stop and start to explore. And it was actually the horses that led me back into led me to spirituality, right? So it was like
I had horses growing up, and they're special.
Yeah. And so it was getting myself back out in nature and the horses around me. And I discovered this whole world of equine guided coaching and was like, holy moly, this is really cool. And so it was this pathway. And it was so funny because I really resisted the spiritual part of it, right? There was a part of me that resisted it. And it was the part of me that just cracked me open and helped me see the world in a whole different way.
Right.
So powerful when we go through these transformations where we discover spirituality in ourselves and how we can just show up in life, and it all becomes a spiritual journey.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, same. I feel like I started with kind of dabbling into the Akashic Records, and
it's so fun that you say that, because I don't know very much about the Akashic Records, but it keeps showing up for me on like a monthly basis right now. So
the point where I was, became a believer was actually in the first class where we asked the question and then we wrote down our answer, like kind of what came to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, quote unquote, went into the Akashic Records. So we said a prayer and opened up the Akashic Records and answered the question again. And my answer was completely different.
Oh, fun.
And that was when I realized, I can listen to something else. Like there is something different than, you know, just my own ego and thoughts. And it took me a very long time to learn the difference and how to tap into that on demand. But it was just a really neat experience. And I use it now with my clients as often when they're trying to, you know, decide which path to go down, or they're trying to figure out they're lost. They feel like they've lost their purpose, or they've like lost connection to something. And like now I know that there's tools that we can use to help them and get back connected to that. And it's really useful.
So tell everybody what Akashic Records are, because it's been really fascinating for me to be researching and learning a bit about Akashic Records. So just, you know, so people, listeners who don't know what Akashic Records are, give them a high level.
Yeah. So I'll give you two different definitions. Me being raised Baptist, you know, Bible religion, in the Bible, it talks about how God counts every hair on your head, every tear that you shed. Like he accounts everything. And for me, that's what the Akashic Records are, is that record.
Mm-hmm.
In a spiritual sense, so if you're talking to someone in a metaphysical way, the Akashic Records are basically like the flow of energy in the imprint of energy that everything on this earth has. And what I had a hard time understanding at first was that when you think that you read the Akashic Records, like it's something that is written, it is set in stone, it is. But the reality is that time and life flows and it's not linear and there is no set path. So sometimes if you're using the Akashic Records to like look in the future will change depending on decisions that you make along the way. Mm-hmm. So that for me was very confusing at first, because I would ask something, I'd get an answer, I'd follow it, and I wouldn't get the result that it said I was going to. So I would say, okay, this is BS. Mm-hmm. And this really isn't real. But then I realized, there's decisions along the way that that change. So everything is very fluid, but it is very useful for really learning about yourself. Because that is something that's a little bit more constant, and you can kind of recognize what resonates and what doesn't.
And is it part of, I mean, when I think about what I've read about Akashic Records, it's like tapping into this journey that we're on this earth, but also potentially beyond this earth, you know, mm-hmm. prior lives or, you know, depending on what people's beliefs are.
We did soul, where's the word? Past life regression, that's what it is. Soul retrieval, soul contracts. There's so many things you can explore within the Akashic Records. And then there's other tools as well that allow you to explore those areas as well. And really it's about finding which tools work best for you.
Exactly.
So now I have a coach that I work with, you know, we meet biweekly, and like, that's what we work on is, learning new tools and kind of finding which ones work best for me versus, you know, a whole other set of tools might work good for someone else.
And I think that's really so true. It's like, you know, all of us have ways that we can tap into our spirituality, you know, whether it was, you know, like I love to bring the horses to my clients because I think that's a beautiful way for them to explore and discover this, you know, deeper and inner self and to explore questions that they might be having. And it's a really powerful way to do that. Nature can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, meditation, there's so many different ways, yoga, all these different ways are tools that we can leverage, and every person is so different. And so finding our ways that calls to us and speaks to us and just lights us up is such a powerful thing.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about how you weave this work into your clients' work.
So I feel like there's, you know, my background is really strategy, messaging.
Yeah.
Copywriting.
We are so aligned, aren't we? This is so much fun. I love it.
Like I have an engineer mind. So mm-hmm. we always, you know, create the plan and then reverse engineer exactly how it's going to work and how everything fits together. And I create systems and just, it's kind of a whole, like very, very logical.
Right.
And so that's why people are really surprised when there's the spiritual aspect, because I'm so practical. And where that comes in is really as we're doing this work, and cause I work with clients a lot on their brand and really figuring out what is your message? What are you here to say? How do we get that out in a bigger way? And when you do that, it's very challenging for people. Mm-hmm. Because we get, you know, we peel back the layers and we find out who you really are. Mm. And that is like it's a great awareness to have for people. But when you begin to think about putting it out there, it can be very challenging, because then the, you know, am I worthy? If I start doing that, other people will think this or that,
right.
Or what if they call me a fraud? And just all of those beliefs come up.
Yeah, the vulnerability of that, right?
Right?
Being really raw of who you are. I actually call it the essence of, you know, we're getting to the essence of who you are, and then we roll that into your brand.
Right. And, you know, another side of it is personality and, you know, drawing out, you know, what aspects of your personality are we going to put into your brand. And, and that's always really challenging, because they're worried about not being taken seriously or looking foolish or, mm-hmm. or just all these like beliefs come up. So that's where the spiritual side of things come in. And really learning to listen to yourself and understand, you know, what is just fear and your ego trying to protect you, mm-hmm. and what is your soul actually saying?
Yeah. And you know what I love about that? It's like, I have a couple clients right now that I'm working with that are in that space of, okay, I know this is who I really am at my essence, right? That very light of me, that brightness inside of me. And yes, I'd love to say this about, you know, put myself out and into a different niche. It's not even a different niche. It's really a different way of describing yourself. You're like, uh-huh. just putting yourself in this unexpected way. And it's scary to do that, right? Yeah. And so it's so fun to walk that journey with them and to be able to say, you know, this is what makes you so unique, and people love it, right? I mean, when people start to step into that, the draw, the attraction that comes to them because they are being so truly themselves is so powerful.
Right. I had a client that kind of very similar to what we were talking about. Very, very practical business coach, specialized in crowdfunding of all things. Uh-huh. Like just very, very like a good business acumen. And mm-hmm. she, you know, it helped multiple people get six figures. Like she just knew her stuff.
Right.
But there was this aspect that she, that only her best clients knew about, like only her close people that had worked with her for years knew about her, which was the spiritual aspect, and that she really uses her intuition and gets downloads from spirit and the divine. And that's what she's telling people to do, but they didn't know where it was coming from. They just thought, you know, she, you know, just had really good ideas and was very creative. And she was so afraid to bring that into the messaging of her business, but she was feeling called to really step out. So she came to me to this is actually before my own awakening and everything. So it's really kind of funny how, you know, the parallels happen. She came to me to help her with the messaging. And it was really funny because when I reflected it back to her, it was just so duh.
Like, right.
Let's just talk about it. Like, this is how things are. This is how things exist. This is who I am. This, you know, this is not, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And when she put it into that practical language, the spiritual aspect into that practical language, it was very easy for her. And she began to put it into her marketing and that week and sold out a retreat that was, I think she made $25,000 in like 2 days.
It's awesome. I love that.
And that was without a launch or like anything. We were just like, let's just test this out and see how your community responds.
Oh my gosh.
And what was really funny is that she had so many emails that were just like, duh, like we've always known this about you. Like, she didn't think she was talking about it, but right. It was very apparent.
Right.
And so it was not a surprise to her audience, and it did not alienate all the people she thought it would. Yeah. And now, you know, this is her business and she's able to just really be herself, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Versus trying to like hide something, which becomes, you're just putting up walls and barriers and it doesn't come out as really you. So it's, right. I love that story. That's a beautiful story. So you talk about reaching upper limits in our business. What does that mean to you?
So upper limit is, I mean, I feel like the big leap is very well known at this point. If you haven't heard about The Upper Limit, check out The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It's just a really good book and very, very relatable to so many people.
Absolutely.
And so your upper limit is essentially, so in business, you find it mostly in like areas of revenue where you start to hit a plateau. Mm-hmm. And so you might, you know, reach a certain, you know, you might reach $20,000-$30,000 a month and then drop. It begins to like decline down to, you know, whatever that point is where you're like, oh crap, I need to fix things. And then you build it back up to where you were, but you never can get beyond that limit and you keep mm-hmm. plateauing. Mm-hmm. And it can happen much sooner than that. It can happen for people when they're at, you know, $50,000 to $75,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And what it really is based on is your own internal belief system and what you believe about money, what you believe you're capable of, what you believe that getting beyond these areas or what you'll have to do to get beyond this limit is going to say about you. Mm-hmm. And it's usually signaled by either that plateau and drop, or just a series of failures. Like you could be a high achiever, you know, feel like you're on top of the world. And then suddenly it feels like you can't get anything right. And right. everything you did, like things that worked wonderfully before are no longer working. And that is, it's usually upper limiting in a different way. So this, when you start to find like where you're failing over and over again, that upper limit is actually you being out of alignment with what you're doing because you don't believe that what you want to do is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm talking about? Like you're,
I totally know what you mean.
Yep.
We've all been there, right?
Yeah. It's like you outgrew the services you were doing
exactly.
before. You outgrew the messaging you were using before and it's out of alignment, but you know, kind of like this crowdfunding expert turned spiritual leader, she didn't believe that if she did what she really wanted to, she would have success.
Right.
And so she just, you know, was kind of stuck in this kind of hamster wheel with her business and not really in love with it anymore. I went through it as well. When I let go of website design,
mm-hmm. I went through it when I let go of the, what's your next chapter work several years mm-hmm. ago, right? Where it was like, I was kind of in this space, because I was helping so many executives figure out their next chapter. And that's where it kind of hit for me. And then it was like all my clients were stepping into starting their own businesses. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, I can help them.
Yeah.
And so the evolution of that totally came about in that way. But when we're in that space, it's hard to see that's what it is. It's just like you get into this energy of frustration. And one of the things I've been playing with in some of the work that I've been doing with my clients recently is really focusing on how we resonate, that what mm-hmm. I call the R factor. And it's like when we get in those spaces of frustration and push and drive and all of that kind of energy, we drop our client attraction capabilities in a big sort of a way.
Right.
And so learning to know when we get there, what are some of the things that you're doing to help your clients break through that upper limit?
So what I do, like a lot of people come to me when they're at this point of plateau mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. realignment, because a lot of it has to do with branding. If you're thinking about changing directions, obviously you need to, you know, find a way to shift your brand without alienating everyone. And that's like something that I've specialized in for the last few years. And so where we start with is figuring out what is it that's out of alignment? Like, what is the thing that's in the back of your mind that you're too afraid to admit that you want to do? And this is where sometimes Akashic records come in, meditation, oracle cards, like to kind of like, because you might not know consciously
right,
what it is.
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden it's clear and it's terrifying.
Right.
It's like, yes, that is what I want. Is, you know, is that possible? And I remember I was writing my own copy for a program. And I think I was doing like, I was just meditating, which sounds really silly, but I was meditating in the Akashic Records and just downloaded this whole sales page about the six-figure plateau. And this was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can't do that. Like, why, like, of all things for that to come to me, and it wasn't something I was thinking about or even asking about, but I was like, I can't do that. And look at me now, like that's my entire business.
Yeah. And so how did you learn to trust yourself through that, right? I mean, I think that's always the big thing, is when we get these wild ideas and we're like, wait a minute, is that really me? And how did you learn to trust yourself through that?
Well, what I realized was, remember I said, like, I started to turn things off and kind of peeling away pieces of myself as I kind of stepped into motherhood. What I realized was that if I looked back at when I was at my best, so when I was starting my business and doubling, tripling every year, and things were amazing, I was always going after the crazy ideas. Like, right. That was like literally my hallmark, was me calling up my business partner and being like, I have a nutso idea. Can I share it with you? And he would be like, this is crazy. Like, why? Like, no. And then he'd come back and be like, you know what? That's kind of brilliant. And they were always the best.
Yeah.
And what I realized was that I had built all of these walls of protection around myself, because, you know, my health wasn't great. My mental health wasn't great at this time because, you know, of all the things going on, that I had built a lot of resistance and fear blocks around myself. And for me, it was kind of a leap of faith to say, okay, I'm going to pretend that I'm 24 again, and I'm going to go after this crazy idea because it feels exciting and fun and like it's right.
So there's a high energy, right? You're resonating, you're sparking on all that excitement level. So right. that changes like, everything.
It definitely, and it didn't mean, okay, I'm going to switch cold turkey and, you know, not do anything that I was doing before, but it did mean, okay, I'm going to start fishing this around and seeing how people respond.
Right.
And seeing, you know, does this resonate? So I started calling colleagues that, you know, were at the kind of at that six-figure plateau, and we'd been talking about it. And they, it's really funny, just they had all been through almost the same thing I had just been through.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is that we had all started our businesses around the same time. Mm-hmm. We weren't the same ages, but we'd all started our business the same year.
Okay.
And we all went through this huge transition at the same time. We just weren't talking about it.
Right. Right.
Because that's
so there's the truth and vulnerability, right?
Right. Because you don't want to look less than to your colleagues or people that could be potential clients. Mm-hmm. And that's why I have a Facebook group called Overcoming the Six-Figure Plateau. And it's literally so that we can talk about it. Like,
that's awesome.
Let's just get it. Let's have a space to talk about these problems that we're not allowed to talk about in front of clients and colleagues.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's totally awesome. And so as you started to do this, your business started to grow and, you know, where are you taking it now? What's your 2020 and what you're taking out into the world? If the whole world could hear one message from you, what would it be?
Yeah. If you could hear, it would be to go do the things you don't believe you can do. Mm-hmm. So if you have this nagging idea, but you don't believe it's possible, explore the possibility that it might be something you can do. That there all the reasons you come up with why it's not possible may or may not be true. Because mm-hmm. A lot of it are stories that we make up for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that is like, why I started my business originally was so that people could follow their dreams. Like that has always been, I want to give people that feeling of when you were a little kid and anything was possible, like what would you do?
Right.
And then how I supported them in that was the very practical, like reverse engineering. Okay, this is how we can make that work.
Right.
And now I feel like that message has grown and it's kind of the same. But it's like now that you've embarked on this journey, you've gained all this experience. Like, okay, like let's get real. What do you really want to do?
Right. Right.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's where the spark comes and that's where the high energy comes and that's where and I think what's really important here is for people to recognize that as the evolution of our business happens, you know, we go through all the work in creating our brand up front and, you know, who we want to be and how we want to serve people. And you're going to grow your business through that space. And then there's going to be change and mm-hmm. it's going to come. And then we've got to go through that work again, right? We've evolved, our clients have evolved, the next, what we're supposed to be putting out into the world has evolved. And so it's a new stretch into that space. And that's a cycle that we're going to go through as entrepreneurs. And I think it's so important for people just not to say, okay, I've done my brand, I'm going to hang it up on the hook and I'm going to be there, right? It's all done.
It's constant evolution.
Yeah.
But the good news is that it's not always hard.
Yeah.
Like that first time you do it, it's, you know, it's difficult, but once you've gained that experience and you've used it and you know how your business works, it's much easier to get it going.
And tapping into that spiritual connection in whatever mm-hmm. way it comes to you, that helps you listen and hear and be guided. So that's the beauty is learning ways to tap into that inner wisdom that we all have mm-hmm. to say, my gosh, this is where my business is supposed to go. That's so cool.
Right.
That's so cool. So where can people learn more about you and your business, Holly?
So my website is hollychantal.com. That's C-H-A-N-T-A-L. And yeah, right. So if you found that you're in that plateau,
yes,
and you're not really sure like what part is broken or what part's out of alignment, right on my homepage, there's a button. Actually, no, I'm not going to give you my homepage because I might change it. Go to growthblindspot.com.
That's going to be your page for that. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Growthblindspot.com is a quiz it'll help you pinpoint like which piece is out of alignment, which piece mm-hmm. is stopping you from growing. Mm-hmm. So you know where that upper limit is.
Right. Okay. That's awesome. So I encourage any of our listeners who are feeling in that space to go out there and just get in that community with others, because that will help you move forward and, you know, have a safe place to talk about that sort of thing. So that's awesome, Holly. The final question that I always ask is, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to share with our audience today?
Three pearls of wisdom. Eat breakfast.
Oh, that's so good. I'm not about that intermittent fasting. You need brain power in the morning. That's so funny. I just told my mom yesterday, I haven't been very good about eating breakfast lately. I need to eat more breakfast. So,
well, then that message must have been for you, because it literally just dropped in.
And it's funny because that was the, my grandmother used to tell me that all the time. So maybe she dropped that one to you.
Funny. So take really what it is about is taking care of your body.
Right.
Giving yourself fuel for what you need. Allow yourself a little bit of grace and understanding mm-hmm. that you are constantly growing and evolving mm-hmm. and your business is constantly growing and evolving. And there's going to be, everything's not going to be roses all the time.
Right.
And if you can give yourself a little bit of grace, you can be, less hard on yourself and those setbacks will be easier to rebound from.
Right. Right.
And then the third pearl of wisdom, is to, literally, this is all about grace, grace to your body, grace to, feelings of failure and setback, and then grace to allowing yourself to strike a balance between your business goals and, the direction you're headed and the other things that are important in your life. They do not have to be compartmentalized. Your business can be a part of your life and your life a part of your business. And I think that's important for people to know because sometimes we try so hard to be professional and not, and be taken seriously that we don't realize that people are understanding. And as long as you're setting the right expectations, like you really can blend the two.
Yes.
And have your business and your life be easy together.
That's awesome. It's funny. I often choose a word for 2020. But this year I actually chose a song. And so I did the Eagles song, Peaceful, Easy, Feeling. And it's because it's that energy that I want to be in, right? I want to be in the flow. And because my business has come into such a beautiful space right now. And so I want that continued flow, to be in my life because that is what, is what's making my business thrive right now. And I think when we can find that grace, that ease, it's really, it's powerful and, right. and how we can show up and it doesn't have to be hard. And I think that's a really important part of it is, sometimes people feel like they're struggling and it's stepping out of that struggle and into the grace and the ease. And that's where it can be really beautiful.
Beautiful. You summed that up so nicely.
Well, Holly, this has been amazing. I am so excited to know you and so excited to share your wisdom, your knowledge with my listeners. I wish you a happy new year and a joyous, happy year with a new baby on the way.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful day.
You too. And bye, everyone.
Bye.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to visit me at CammieGellner.com to find out how you can make heartfelt connections to mindful strategies to ignite an abundant flow of cash and clients into your business. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.